Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is parents and education. Marlene Lockhart has the rundown.
We have a very interesting discussion with the new parent leader group in Nevada, Andrea Hughes Baird. Here's it up.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Verita Black Prothrow, Bob Berengo, and Bill Billiot. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Travis, do you think we'll be cowboys someday?
You darn tootin', maybe we'll even win some buckles.
Get ready for the nonstop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. Join us at 10 a.m. downtown Reno, Saturday, June 18th for the Reno Rodeo Parade, followed by Kids Day at the Rodeo Grounds from noon till 3.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah! How will new energy technology make our lives better? Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program Andrea Hughes Baird. She is the founder of Parent Leaders for Education. So let's start out with, what is this organization all about?
This is a group of parents that got together. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan group of parents and community members who want to advocate for education funding and reform.
And what were the problems that you perceived that wanted to get you involved?
We went to a couple of town halls by Dr. Morrison and found out that...
Who's the superintendent for Washoe
County? Who's the superintendent, and found out that it was last fall. And what he was anticipating was $75 million in cuts for both of the next 2 years through the biennium. And also that we are next to the lowest in education funding, K-12 education funding, and also next to the lowest in things like graduation rate and test scores. So our school system was not doing well, and it was funded at a very low rate, and it was going to have devastating cuts. And at that point, we decided we needed to do something about it.
And who is the we?
The we was several leaders from different groups, so a music group or a sports group, that kind of thing. We got together and said, what can we do? And the first thing was to get a number of people behind us. So we had what we called a Stand Up for Education event. It was at the Nugget in November. We had Dr. Morrison there as a speaker. We had Debbie Smith, and essentially let everybody know what the facts were. And at that point, what they were saying was needed most was a voice down in Carson City. There hadn't been a parent voice there in I think several sessions, and they felt that's what the key was.
Well, I saw you testify in many committees, and
many people said how effective your organization was in shining the light and bringing attention to the issue of funding and other reforms in education. Now that the smoke is cleared, and I think everybody's calling it could have been worse session, where are we with funding? What is now actually going to happen that it wasn't reduced as proposed, but still substantially?
Yes, it was substantially reduced. We, from what I understand, and most of the information I gather is from Dr. Morrison's presentations, either press conferences or his town halls and that kind of thing. The last numbers that I have seen were going to go from $75 million in cuts to $53 million in cuts. I think, hoping more for in the $35 million range. So, yes, the cuts are still dramatic. He's already proposed $35 million in cuts, so that brings us down to about 18 left to go. They're negotiating with the unions, and we'll find out where they land with that. And if it's below the 18, then there's more cuts to come, and hopefully it won't be below that number or substantially below.
Had you ever testified to the legislature before?
No, I never had.
So what was your experience like? What was your reception like?
I was amazed at the reception. After our first event in November, we promised everyone in the audience we would do our research. And so we talked with Debbie Smith and Pat Hickey and Ben Kiekeffer, and then some of the school board members who had been there before. Some of them have a very long history of advocating at the legislature. So we talked to everyone, the school district, everyone we could, got advice. I think one of the sort of the key steps was for my own group that I was leader of in the school district, when the strategic plan was being developed, we ended up going to a school board meeting and having to testify there, and you get your 3-minute limit, and that gave us the first practice. And so we got some advice there, and then we just went down and said what we had to say, and it grew from there. We had a great reception by the legislators. They would let us, we'd stop by for a 5-minute conversation, and we'd have an hour with them. And we were able to explain what our position was, what our background for our position was. And it really felt like they listened.
Well, do you think, but for the Supreme Court decision, we could have been back to the originally proposed budget? Do you think you were getting through to any of those that were taking the very hard line of supporting the budget as submitted?
One of the things we said from the very beginning, being an organization where we literally the most active members, we had about 50% Democrats and 50% Republicans, and so we took the stance that I don't believe there are Republicans that are against education. I don't believe there's anyone who's against K-12 education, but that was sort of their reputation. And so we had someone on the other side, on the Democrat side, saying, well, okay, Democrats aren't all for taxes. There isn't, there's the saying out there, there's never a tax that a Democrat sees that they don't like. And so we came at it from that perspective. And so in talking with them, sure enough, their personal views, of course they supported education. Of course they didn't want to see these devastating cuts. But it's a different perspective on how you pay for things. And so they really needed to, we pushed compromise and negotiation and get to the table, and we said that constantly, and we knew they wanted to, but it's the political process at that point, and we respected the fact that they knew that process better than we did.
All right, let's take a break. More with the founder of Parent Leaders for Education when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com. These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time. So get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection. Of the classic songs that live on forever. I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning for you.
can't get this massive 8 CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with a complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue a conversation with the founder of Parent Leaders for Education, Andrea Hughes Baird.
Another part of your mission was talking about reforms, and some reforms did get passed this session, but as I understand it, they are not really the reforms you were looking at, that you and your group see a need for different kind of reforms. Can you talk a little bit about your initiatives?
Okay. Where we started, because we wanted to support the school district and the reforms that they have done, and the school board was very reform-minded. They got a new superintendent who's very reform-minded, and we participated in the process of creating the strategic plan, which I feel is very much reform-minded, and in reality, it's got to be at the local level where you actually implement the reforms, and it's got to be the vision of those leaders. So that's one of the reasons why I was willing to stand up for the funding, and then also the reforms that enable that strategic plan. And so once it got to the point where we had to take a very strong stand on what we thought those reforms should be, did some research, found out, you know, for the past 10 years what the other states have done, the good states or the successful states. And a lot of that is it's the pre-K, the all-day kindergarten funding, the things like that we had already started doing, but the legislators were questioning as to whether or not we should continue those. And so we came out very strong in that we believe those need to be continued and not let go, but then supporting the things that the Blue Ribbon Task Force came up with. So the Teachers Leaders Council to be able to change the evaluation process for the teachers to be 50% based on the success of the growth model of the students, being able to, one, make it a little bit harder to get to the post-probationary status or the tenure status. So now it's 3 years, it's going to be 3 years instead of 1 year. Then once you're at post-probationary, they need to continue to perform, and making it so that it's not so impossible to get rid of a teacher who's either given up or never should have been there in the first place. So those are the most important reforms, and those are the ones that finally did get through. By about mid-session, we were very concerned that any of them would get through. At the very beginning of the session, when they were first presented, it seemed like they were no-brainers, like they're going to be a piece of cake. So by the end of the session, I felt we got more than I thought they might have been able to get through. Are there still more reforms? At the legislative level, there's a few more. We put together a position paper, and we are in support of that.
What would those additional reforms be?
I'm trying to think at this point. I guess it's we need to watch the implementation of what they've already gotten. There's going to be a restructuring of the state superintendent's office, see how that goes, see if there needs to be more to that. The proposal was to make it all appointed. I think they landed on the 50-50 situation.
The governor instead of this crazy
yes,
mess.
The superintendent appointed by the governor and therefore being on his cabinet, so hopefully that will have a huge effect. So seeing the effects of that, seeing if if the reforms on giving the school districts more control on the hiring and firing of people and that kind of thing, if that's enough, if they need more than what they got. And one of the things that we pointed out, from what we could tell, was that the reforms that are proven and that have actually changed the success of the state goes back to funding. They all started out with some giant grant. It wasn't necessarily state funding. And then it was they're getting their curriculum in order, getting their accountability to match their curriculum, and then it's going back to helping the kids at as early an age as possible, and saving their education there. So if they need remediation and all of that, to be able to be at grade level as soon as possible. The one key piece to me that didn't seem to be out there was, once you get the kids and you teach them up to third grade, get them into reading and all of that, then it seemed like some of the states there was a lag by eighth grade. They'd lost all their progress. So that would be one thing that I don't know exactly what the solution is. It's for the educators to figure out what that is. But
there are those that say the impediment to reforms for so many years has been the teachers union. How did you interact with those representatives, and did you work well with them, or were you on opposite sides?
Definitely not on opposite sides. Some of them are on our mailing list. Pretty much towards the beginning. In December, I started putting out a nightly update during the work week, not during the weekends, and ended up with about 30, more like 50 or 60 people on the nightly update. And then I tried at a weekly to every 2 weeks update the entire 750 that were on our email list. And some of the key people in the teachers union were on the nightly update, so they knew exactly what we were doing, and that was one of our, I guess, philosophies, is that we could tell everybody what we were doing. The district couldn't necessarily tell us what they were doing. And so with several organizations, and there was also the Council for Excellence in Education, which is a community organization, and Education Alliance. We did align with those. Most of the other groups that asked us to align with them, we wanted the ability to say exactly what we wanted to say and not have any kind of restrictions. And so we had a good relationship with the teachers union, but we were not aligned with them so that we couldn't say what we wanted to.
And that's where we have to leave it. We thank you for your community service. Absolutely. And we trust that you're going to remain involved, and looking forward to the next session.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts, such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
What's all new inside the Eldorado? Now open, Pho Main Noodles, Stir Fry, and more. For sit down, take out, or on the go. Come see what's inside the Eldorado today.
If your Social Security disability application is denied, you'll have an awful lot of time to spend wondering just what to do next.
Don't just sit there and wait to get the disability benefits you've earned. Call us and let us take whatever action is necessary. Your first visit is free, and you only pay when your disability application is approved. David Allen and Associates. We get results. I'm David Allen.
It's Yerington's High Roller Car Show, June 17th through the 19th, presented by Deanie's Lucky Club. Call 775-781-5780 for more information.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday, and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
With R.C. Willie's 5-star express delivery service, your purchase is delivered immediately.
Listen to our sports partner, the new ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Bill Bilyeu, former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, is here. Verita Black-Prothro, Business Development Manager for Nevada Arrhythmia Services. And another former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Bob Barango. Pleasure to have you all here with us. So let's start out with a follow-up. We were discussing this on the previous program about this U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the Nevada case. And now the Las Vegas Review-Journal editorial board came out and said, conflicts of interest are as routine a part of Nevada government meetings as the Pledge of Allegiance, full disclosure and abstention by Nevada politicians, not so much. But a Monday ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, which overturned a Nevada Supreme Court decision that had gutted state ethics law, could change that. And further into the editorial, it says, in a state where a handful of powerful political players advise not only elected officials, but the myriad business interests that routinely come before them, the ruling could easily force half of some local government bodies to sit out multiple votes on matters of community importance. Your thoughts, Mr. Bilyeu?
I haven't read the opinion yet, but it's as I understand it, the Supreme Court basically said that that was not a First Amendment right that the councilman was exercising, and I agree with that. What there was at least the appearance of impropriety, but he did go to get legal counsel. He got bad legal counsel, who said he could vote. Politician. I know I tried to do it. I tried to avoid anything that might be remotely a conflict of interest, and that's what politicians should do. It's going to be coming back to the Nevada Supreme Court, and the First Amendment issue is not going to be there, but there's still a vagueness issue there, I think. It's kind of like, what's a conflict of interest? Well, it's kind of like pornography. We all know what it's like. We all know what it is when we see it, but how do you define it?
It's real simple. If you don't want to see it in the front page of the paper, don't do it.
Yeah. But the bottom line, though, is, I mean, we have a citizen legislature. We have a lot of part-time, county officials and city officials that have ongoing working relationships with people on all kinds of projects. Does this not now gum up the works?
Well, you get out there and you throw it out there. You tell them what it is. Lay it out there, and if you think it's close enough, you don't vote. It's just real simple, I think. But we've done that all the time. I don't see any problem with it.
The fascinating part about it, in one respect, was okay. Fine. If you have someone helps you politically, your campaign manager, something like that, and then you can't vote on any issue that they're involved with in any way. Gee whiz, what's going to happen to all the big advertising and lobbying firms in town?
Exactly.
Who raise the money, get the people elected, and then bring issues in front of them. Well, nobody's seen any real conflict of interest before, and I'm not going to name any names here, but...
Oh, name names.
No.
You know you want to.
No.
Changing gears quickly, since we have two former speakers here, the legislature sent over two different redistricting bills to the governor. He vetoed both, and now it's going... He says to the courts, he's not going to call, the governor is not going to call a special session. As a former speaker, do you feel they've abdicated their responsibility? That's a primary responsibility, or at least it has in the past.
At least in the state of Nevada, we leave it up to the legislature. I think other jurisdictions, correct me if I'm wrong, some other jurisdictions have formulated special panels to do that kind of thing. I understand the governor's position is if the Democrats are hard-nosed here and the Republicans are hard-nosed here, what's the point in calling another special session? And you can't command a legislator to do anything. And so... Why even go through the exercise?
Well, one of the things that I thought was that these placekeeper lawsuits that were placed at the beginning of the session.
I think that was a wise thing for the governor to do, because people, the sides aren't going to give, and hopefully the courts will show some wisdom and will come out with maps that really reflect what's going on in the state, but. The parties just could not, if they were going to go back and get reelected. We're in a political climate where people really can't give if they want to get reelected.
Bob, are we seeing a surge of power for the judicial branch? I mean, they had the opinion that shut down the session, they're going to do the redistricting. And very few people in Nevada could probably name the Supreme Court justices.
I don't think you're seeing a surge of power. All those powers have been in place for years. Sometimes they come to rise, sometimes they don't. I think the legislators should have worked harder to get it done, but if they can't, let the court do it. I'll guarantee you it won't happen again because no one's going to like what the court does.
Exactly.
So next time around, they're going to make the decision.
Yeah. But, you know, to go back to your point, though, I mean, everybody was very hard-nosed at the beginning of the session, mm-hmm. but once that giant gap opened up by the Supreme Court with the money, a lot of people changed their positions very rapidly.
Yeah, but... I still think on this that they were not going to give on that because there's so much at stake when you look at how these seats were shaping up. I just don't think they were going to get very far.
Do you think the Supreme Court will actually do the job themselves, or do you think they will hire somebody to do this? I don't even know what the rules are.
You know, I haven't the faintest idea. You know, they should probably hire. People who have expertise in that area, at least as special masters of some sort, yes.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave. Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on the Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
So you can't save money? That's easy as pie. Drink from the tap. A $3 bottle of water a day times 10 years times 6% interest is over 14,000 clams. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. FeedThePig.org.
At Evergreen Carpet Care, when we say we live with your carpets, it means our service continues even after we've left the job. Because to us, people care is every bit as important. So we're constantly striving to offer the best possible customer service in the business.
For example, we do something that no one else does. We'll give you a follow-up call to make sure your job was done perfectly. And I mean perfectly. If not, we'll make it right. We promise.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever evergreen.
This is a public announcement. CNNMoney.com reports that in some areas of the country, buyers are scooping up homes for as little as $1,000. Foreclosures are at an all-time high. Government and private banks are liquidating these homes now. If you currently rent a house or apartment, you may call now and learn how to receive your free list of these homes. All others may call tomorrow. Every house must be sold. This is a public announcement.
Call toll-free 800-987-6421. That's 800-987-6421.
In every adversity is an opportunity. Are you facing foreclosure? You have a lot of options. Come into the offices of Laub & Laub. We'll explain to you what they are. We won't charge you to explain to you which one is best. We can help you now.
The nutrient-rich, flavor-packed avocado. It can be seen in lush green orchards, in upscale restaurants, and now, Subway.
No way!
Way. Because now, for a limited time only, Subway has avocado. Creamy, smooth, this superfood really ups the flavor ante. Try the turkey and bacon avocado. Everything you add tastes even better with creamy avocado. Crispy veggies, cheeses, sauces. Go ahead. Grab the green today at Subway. Subway. Eat fresh.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
And coming up on our next broadcast, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kralicki.
We'll see you then.